Welcome back to the Blindsiders. I am Ben. I'm joined by Dylan and Brian, as always, to break down episode number 5 of Survivor 45. And I'm very, very, very happy so far with the season. I don't want to jinx it. We're only through the pre-merge. Merge starting next week. But just 5 solid episodes. I really can't complain too much other than the quits. I don't know what you guys have to say, just right off the top.
Me first? Okay. Welcome back. Welcome back, Dylan. Thank you, everyone. I was off a week. Yeah, same. It's weird because now we're in a comfortable spot, I think, where we can – I think the cast is great. I think the show is managing to stay out of its own way so far. And even when they've done like one or two things I haven't liked, I think the cast has just completely carried, and the edit has carried really well. And yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot to critique in my eyes. Like you said, I'm really enjoying the ride. It's like the first time I really truly feel like I'm just sitting down enjoying it. I'm really just hoping that the other shoe doesn't drop, and you know, we're here next week yelling about stuff. But something just feels completely different. Even at this point last season, I know we were feeling pretty good, but I think just this cast and the direction they're going this year has just really worked. And I don't know. I'm just loving it. There's nothing but positives for me, honestly.
Yeah, same. Even it's impressive, even with the two quits, which I think would have like at least partially derailed my enthusiasm for previous seasons. I'm very enthusiastic about what's going on in the future. And, you know, I don't want to get too, you know, on a specific thing yet, but they did have Jake, very adamantly be like, I don't want to get pulled out of this game. I really want to be here, even if my body's failing me. So I'm hoping we are past quits and like everyone is here to play and win.
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead, Ben.
No, I'm not as worried about quits now, but I'm definitely, based off of that, worried about potential medevac being telegraphed a little bit, but we'll see.
I can live with a medevac. That's fine. Cause like, no one wants to be medevaced. Like everyone's very sad when it happens to them. Mm-hmm. It's the quits that are bothersome.
Yeah. I was going to say that was another thing I really enjoyed about tonight too, is that we had seemingly our first tribal council, where everybody was there to really play and no one wanted to go home. I guess Sabaya's vote out. Nobody really wanted to go home. And we had some other wonky stuff there, but I think to have a nice little straight up tribal, even though there was a few like a little a few monkey wrenches thrown in there which I completely forgot about with Austin's idol and how all that worked and all that, but it just was really nice. Yeah. Obviously I wasn't here to chat last week. I was still very surprised by Sean wanting to bail there out of nowhere. My cry count, it was actually at 2 for the episode. I wasn't able to be here to report back, but he actually held back the tears pretty much until the end of the episode. That was very disappointing because I don't think that Sean, you know, was really a player that I was like super high on, but to have someone quit, because that's what it was. It was quitting in a forceful vote, although, I thought for a second we were going to get somebody to just completely disregard what Sean wanted, only one person. But it was nice. And it was really nice to see the frustration from the people that Sean kind of left in the dust, and the trail of destruction that he left behind, even though like it was only like half and half. Obviously him leaving screwed up everything for them, but I think also them just going after their teammate for no reason, which I wasn't a fan of. It blew up in their face. I'm wearing the red Reba. I will say, I do think that Reba outside of that is a very, very boring tribe at this point. So I'm very happy we're getting a merge. I do think Sifu is very interesting, but I don't know how I feel as Sifu as a player, but I don't really have that tribe. I don't know. I don't think as highly of the, definitely don't think as highly of J Maya as a player anymore. I think that tribe is losing luster quick. So I'm really happy that we're getting a merge next week.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate the Julie, especially after Sifu reveals in this like early part of the episode that on his way out, Sean told him, "I didn't vote for you." Julie in the confessional is like, "We were gonna save this guy, and he just like threw a grenade on our games for no reason on his way out. What is wrong with him?" Like, I appreciated that. That was good. Yeah. He did.
I wonder if Sean was upset that somebody dared not like vote him out though. Like, I wonder if that was his mentality behind that, being like, yeah, someone who clearly didn't vote for me voted for you. It sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great moment. Sifu just kind of being extremely like pissed off but not really like wanting to blow up was very fun. This whole episode, just kind of like an unspoken, like, I know one of you voted for me. I'm very angry, but I'm not going to like make it a big deal. I'm just going to make these passive aggressive like remarks about it.
It was like a very passive aggressive version of the, like, it was a passive aggressive version of Rupert's aggressive, you know, who voted for me in Pearl Islands.
I was hoping for that. We need like, who the fuck voted for me? That's such a great moment.
It did feel a little old school in that fashion of having somebody drag, even though Sifu is like, I don't know, like you said, he's like this like nice passive aggressive, like antithesis version of Coach, where like all like the wackiness is there, but none of kind of like the bite that Coach had, because Coach was like obviously such kind of like not like a fake nice guy, but Coach was very clearly like, wasn't fully bought into everything he preached in certain ways, which is why I love Coach. He's one of my all-time favorite players. And I don't know if it necessarily makes Sifu not as exciting or less boring or more boring, but it did feel old school in that sense. That's the first time in a long time that I feel like we had somebody that caught votes that was like generally upset, even though Sifu showed it in like a not normal way, like that I feel like we would probably show it if we were actually mad. It was just nice to see somebody not being like, oh yeah, it's just, you know, it's part of the game, it is what it is, even though like that is what it is, but it's still, it was nice to see somebody doing it. It just was, like you said, it wasn't so like nice and passive aggressive. I wish there was a little more heads being chopped off type scenario.
Yeah, because you have like one of two ways to play it, right? You can be like this or just be angry. Or you can like kind of be like, okay, I need to self-reflect. Clearly what I'm doing is not resonating with at least one person. I need to manage my perception. But that's boring. I don't want players to do that. I want players to be upset.
Yeah, make fake idols and then show the fake idol to everybody and make really like loosely threatening Tai Chi metaphors.
So good.
Yeah, I like he left and Jay Maya's like, is he threatening me? Was that a threat?
Although, to give Sifu credit though, behind it all, he was clearly obviously in a very, very bad situation. I feel like he did perhaps kind of swing his way out of it. Obviously, it didn't end up mattering in the end for that particular try. But I do think that he deserves some credit in that sense, that he did kind of maneuver his way out of, to at least put the thought in D's head of potentially voting out Jay Maya.
Yeah, with how it like played out, hilarious that they just completely unforced errored themselves and potentially fucked themselves for the merge. Like, well, you got Drew and Austin like laying down the foundation for a deep run for Reba players, and you got the rest of Reba screwing it up for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, all of this over paranoia for an idol that they know that Austin has.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think of that.
Is the second idol? They think there's two idols on a pre-merge beach in 7 days? Like, are you kidding me?
I'm as dumb as them because I didn't even put two and two together.
That like, he sense. Hasn't gotten a journey, like, right?
Yeah.
There's no opportunity. Like, the only people who could have had an advantage from their tribe were Jay Maya and Drew, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the only ones from their tribe who have gone on a journey. And they know the idol is with Austin. So where the hell do they think that Sifu is getting this magical advantage or idol from?
I don't know.
And And we see it every season too, of people overestimating, you know, other players' capability or players' position in the game. I don't know where the whole like Sifu is going to be dangerous come merge thing came, because before, I mean, I really, and I still pretty much feel the exact opposite of that, is that I think that he's one of the people I'm least worried about at this point. So I have no idea where that whole kind of storyline came from with them, that Sifu was his day. I think they wanted to keep an all-girl Reba alliance going, and Sean was obviously the way to keep it. I don't know. I just don't know where that whole storyline came from.
No, but I will say I love, like, I used to kind of be sour on these idols that look like shit for that Survivor's been throwing out there. However, it does pay off when someone makes a fake idol, because that could be the idol. I don't know. Like, the idol is a piece of string with like three beads on it. So like, why not a seashell?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, usually you kind of expect them to have the note, right? The note is like, yeah, it's like you notarized the idol, right?
Yeah. When you're walking out of Best Buy, you're gonna flash the receipt.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah, I don't know. This whole tribe like perplexed me this whole episode. Jay Maya's wild plan to like throw herself under the bus for no reason. It's like, why? All you're doing is guaranteeing that you go if he does have an idol, and if he doesn't have an idol, then this is all for nothing.
Yeah, and like, I don't, she was like, I'll take one for the team, and they were just like, oh, yeah. Fine. They weren't even like thankful. They're like, cool, sounds good.
Yeah, cool. Maybe we'll also just vote you out instead.
Yeah. You know what? It's complicated. We'll just get rid of you, Jay. It's fine.
Yeah, you're clearly too incompetent to be useful at the merge anyways, if you're going to be doing shit like this.
That's what I texted you guys too. This episode definitely exposed the, I don't want to say bad players, the players that are not as good as all the other players. Mm-hmm. And Jay Maya is unfortunately definitely one of them, because I thought something about the first episode, I thought maybe there was a spark of her potentially being a good player, very sociable, but I think as of right now, that's all kind of gone out the window.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey, that clutch slingshot shot by Sifu had to feel so good, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's always nice when you have like an underdog tribe, like especially in a three tribe format, when they're like the sole winners.
Maybe it was Sean this whole time. Mm-hmm. We gave shit to Brandon. Maybe it was just Sean dragging Lulu down.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the statistics, right? Like, he went to four tribals in a row. He, you know, unceremoniously quits the game, and then the tribe he was on immediately wins.
Yeah, it comes in first, not even like a squeak out.
Yeah, it was like it was with a bullet. Yeah, they were like ahead the entire challenge.
Awesome. It was fun. I like that challenge. As we've said here, as I've said, I don't love the equalizer of the puzzle every time. Give me a challenge like this where it's just like anyone could win this.
Yeah,
the slingshot is always very epic. Whenever involved, because I feel like a lot of times too, you see guys or gals that are kind of, you know, meatheads that go to the slingshot and they're just like horrible at it at first, and then you see little like scrawny people shoot it. And
me, I was thinking about that too. Like, if this was me, I know I would send one like into orbit first and be like,
oh for sure. Yeah.
This isn't what I thought it was. Whoops.
Yeah. I mean, they look like those were pretty far away though, so I don't think that was like a major issue, this one. But yeah, there's been a lot of fun slingshot, you know, things in the past. The famous Cambodia Stephen Fish.
I would never forget that night of Twitter. Yeah. They were roasting his ass. Mm-hmm. Like, they were all coming for Steven. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Especially that's our boy out there. That's our know-it-all.
Especially when, like, it came out that they were throwing the shot.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, no, this was good. It's funny because it's almost like they listened to our feedback in real time.
I know.
Because we like, complained about how all of the challenges were ending in a puzzle, and it was creating, you know, predictable outcomes, and then the next two immunity challenges did not end in the puzzle and ended in basketball and then the slingshot. So yeah, I, good job, I guess. Yeah, they figured it out.
Yeah, I think it's for the better. Whatever you can do, it's like we talk about on the Have Not Room, Ben, whatever you can do to like allow the most number of people to win these challenges, you should do that. Because that's what's interesting. Not the Big Brother production listens to us, even though they could in real time.
There certainly isn't a person right now in a five comp streak that is generally impossible to do on a normal Big Brother right now.
So maybe they did take my invisible HOH idea, as we joked about with BB Can doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Except, of course, BB Can did it better because they do pretty much everything better. Except no live feeds now, which sucks. Yep. Anyways, well, we talked a little bit about players potentially playing badly. Do we want to talk about Drew not taking an alliance, even if he doesn't mean it? Who says no on Survivor other than Jonathan Penner? Like, Penner's the only one I can think of who's just like, you know what? I'm good, man. I don't really need this alliance.
However, though, it was smart in hindsight, because what we got from Brando's confession, Brando never wanted to work with him anyway. It was all a kind of like blindside. I think that my winner's pick, Drew, really finessed his way out of this. You speak of Fishback, and you know, JT, we've made that comparison forwards with him and Austin. I think that the Fishback of this group may actually be the dominant player. I really like the way Drew worked his way through here. I do agree. You always lie and take the alliance. Something about Brando and Drew, though, they seem like there's this weird rivalry there all of a sudden that popped up in this episode where they just don't like each other in the game, which was great because it created a really great dynamic for Tribal later on. But no, Drew knew what he was doing. He had Brando's number from the jump. Drew is, talk about players skyrocketing in rankings for me. Drew continues to just climb. I love Drew. Great move.
Yeah, it's the vanilla Pokemon versus Pokemon Go rivalry.
I have to side with Drew. Like, Pokemon Go is fine and very fun. Dylan, we used to play together when we worked together on lunch breaks or whatever. Mm-hmm. I do prefer vanilla Pokemon. I feel bad. Drew got exposed for hacking his Pokemon on national TV. I was like, oh, that sucks. But all the good competitive players just get hacked Pokemon because they're not going to breed, you know, for everything. Like, but I don't want to be like Brando and Drew talking, you know, over Emily about Pokemon, where she looks completely unenthused. So we don't have to go on that tangent.
Well, that's why I think that this whole, like, him rejecting the alliance in this situation was not the worst, because I know a lot of people are giving him shit for it, and I think that in general it's like definitely not correct, but like, Emily was present when this alliance was pitched, and it's like, does Emily consider herself in this nerd alliance because she's like a stockbroker? Like, does that make you a nerd? I don't know. I've briefly worked in finance, and there were plenty of people who worked in finance who are definitely not traditionally nerds. Like, other than, you know, just like working in a math-based field, I really don't see that driving well. So like, I don't know. I feel like in that situation, when you already have what you feel is a strong three, and a fourth person is coming in and trying to make a side alliance with you in front of somebody who's supposed to be another ally, that's usually, I think, a good place to say, nah, let's maybe not do that.
Yeah, I do love the idea of her being like more of like a finance bro than a nerd, and her being like, oh, I don't know what Brando's talking about. That kid's a fucking loser.
I do applaud how Brando ended up swinging it, though, after the fact of him being like, no, Drew came to me and proposed all this stuff. I did think that was worked really well. Clearly, it didn't work well enough, but I thought it was a move to make there where I didn't really know where Brando was going at that point. So I did think that was interesting, because it just caused complete chaos with that whole tribe from the rest of the episode. So I thought that was great. Because up until this episode, I didn't know what kind of game Brando was going to play, and we got like a brief preview of like a snake, which would have been great to maybe keep going, but it didn't work. But I like the move that he was going for.
See, I disagree again as well, because I think that the initial idea was okay, but not looping Emily in on what he was doing is like completely pointless. Like, all you have to do is say to Emily, like, yeah, I was just blowing smoke up Drew's ass to like make sure that they, you know, don't play an idol so that we can blindside him. Like, that's all you have to do is tell Emily that, which is like basically the truth. Like, that's like what he said to Emily made no sense.
I think what he was going for was to basically turn Emily into like a pawn, which I think where you're right is where that is a mistake of rather than just straight up just trying to bring her just dealing with the 2-2 and try to bring her in as the swing. I think that was what his mentality was. He clearly had Kendra that maybe he could just snake and pawn Emily into voting for them, thinking that Drew was making plans without her. That's how I took it, which is why I liked the move. Mm-hmm. More so than just approaching her, but I do think that what you're saying was definitely for sure the smarter way to approach it, clearly, because that way didn't work out.
Yeah, I wonder if he was worried about it going back to Kendra and her getting like super pissed and like paranoid, because like his lie is more believable than the truth, in my opinion. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if I was Emily, I would be like, well, either Drew pitched him or they just like awkwardly didn't really talk about a vote. And the fact that Drew was like, oh, he pitched me on Kendra, I would be like, I don't know if I believe that. Why would he do that? Yeah. You know? So I don't hate it. It did not work at all. If anything, it did the exact opposite of everything he was trying to, you know, because he was like, well, either Emily will vote with us, or at the very least, I won't get voted out, and just went it completely on him.
It got her thinking to the point, at least, of like she wanted the Bellow numbers going into merge. She was like latching on the two Bellows, which I guess makes sense. Because I mean, clearly, as a viewer, obviously, which we're not privy to the entire truth of what's going on. Reviewer, I had literally no idea where she was going to go at the end of the vote. I had assumed and hopes with Drew. But I thought that the suspense like really worked with all that going in to the vote.
It's gonna be so interesting at the merge, because obviously Caleb and Emily will come back together, and Caleb, out of necessity, I mean, he's only been on a tribe with original Bellow people, will be like, I made all these inroads with Bellow, and she'll be like, I did the exact opposite. Where are they gonna go?
He also has that connection to Drew, though, because he gave him
that is true
the advantage.
Yeah, he so did lay I think some that's groundwork there,
which sure. is like that's a dream scenario for me, because I think that that's like all four or five of my favorite players all together at once.
Right,
they can just somehow pull in Kelly. I think I'm like, oh, I can't lose this season type thing.
Right, that'd be very interesting. I do think Kelly is a good, or at least seemingly like she's a good player. We haven't seen her actually like necessarily tested with a vote or anything, but she seems to be playing a decent game now. I do wonder if Reba will be able to come together, though, after what happened with Sifu and everything. Is he gonna let it be water under the bridge, or is he gonna be like, I can't trust these girls anymore?
I mean, it's one person, right? Like, you still have the numbers with the other five Rebas plus Emily plus Caleb, that's 7 out of 13. Like, if Sifu doesn't want to be on board, then like, does it really matter?
That's a fair point. Because he's completely on an island right now. He's got no friends, yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. And that's assuming that, you know, you have Keturah and Bruce able to like make.
Yeah, which is another.
Yeah.
Like, she's kind of on an island, but not really, because Caleb, you know, wants to work with her, and she seemingly wants to work with Kelly. Like, she feels good. So that would have been very interesting to see if that tribe was going to go to tribal council in that spot. But I think it will still be interesting in the merge, because they're pitching this like, oh, it's going to be this battle of two sides, but there's fractures all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, that whole tribe dynamic was very interesting to me, because like you said, Kelly is very well positioned. It seemed like every single person was like, yeah, we can work together, and then also with Kelly as a third, and it's like everyone wanted Kelly on in whatever three they were concocting. And then you also had like after Jake's collapse, you had like the scene where like she was comforting him for quite a while, like just that ability to have somebody feel comfortable being vulnerable in that way around you, I think is just, like a really good indication of her social ability.
Yeah, I saw someone made a meme of him versus the Survivor logo in Pokemon style, and then she tweeted herself as Nurse Joy. Very good.
Yeah. Otherwise, like the only intrigue from Bella was just more Keturah versus Bruce.
Yeah, we're reaching like some of the highest levels of rivalries that we've seen on any of these shows.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if Bruce is aware of it yet. He's got a storm coming. It seems if he's not, I was so concerned we were gonna lose her before the merge, but I'm psyched that she made it. She's gonna be hating on Bruce at least for another episode or two here.
Those are two players too, where it's seemingly their only place in this game at point is a rivalry with each other. Because as we saw, Kelly isn't like totally sold on working with Keturah, and I really don't know what Bruce's game is at this point. I still really don't know. I don't know like what. I think he's hoping to just glide to the end. But like you said, Bello hasn't really had to face much of any adversity, at least not like Bello at large. So it's obviously tough to like really fully tell, but I don't know. I don't put him as high as like as Jay Maya or like Sifu in terms of players that I'm not super high on, but I just really have no idea where they're going from here, rather than just being the back end of a Bello majority and whoever goes with them.
Yeah. I will say I am sad that he got medevaced last season, because I would have really loved to see him try to boss Carolyn and Jam around, like tell them that they had to do stuff and get up. That would have been really great television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, in hindsight, Bruce might've been medevaced about like 14 hours before he otherwise would have been voted out.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So he really got a break.
Yeah. Yeah, he got to play on a season with on a winning tribe, mm-hmm. where he could survive until the merge without going to tribal council, while still being seemingly pretty obnoxious.
Yeah.
good for him. Like, good for these four Bellows who have just not gonna have gone to tribal council pre-merge.
Do you think they have the numbers going? Do you think that hurts or helps them, though, having literally no adversity coming their way at all? I mean, most seasons we have at least one tribe that coasts into the merge. I just don't know if it's helpful or hurtful at this point, because then once we get to the merge, there's always fractures. Like you said, Brian, there's already fractures multiple places that half the people aren't even aware of yet. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's almost like an ignorance is bliss type thing until the merge. And then, like they said, with when people were cheering when Lulu was going to back to their third tribal, of like, it's literally like it's like the rich versus the poor, and like the poor is way more street smart than the rich, and then eventually you're getting to this point where the two equals are colliding. I don't know. I think that's maybe just way more overthinking it, because clearly we've had players win who have been in majorities and coasted the whole time. I don't know, but something about, like you said, Keturah and Bruce, I just feel like that merge is really just gonna smack them in the face.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a proponent of, you want to go to tribal council before the merge at least once or twice, maybe not twice in like really small tribe seasons. In like the bigger tribe seasons, sure. And that's just because like the idea that in Survivor, the only thing you know for sure is, well, before they started taking away people's votes, the only thing you know for sure is what the vote was. And the only way you can really, really know if you can trust these strangers is if you come together and you vote and you're like, all were honest with each other and you went through. I think there's that aspect. And then there's the other aspect of some of these players who don't go to tribal council, get a little antsy, and they're like, I just want to make a move. I just want to vote someone out, and they can make mistakes. I don't know how that's played out in practice, because you have like Erica, she didn't go to tribal council the whole time. She won the game. It didn't seem to negatively affect her or like her tribe mates. A lot of them were in the end game. So that's my feeling on it. I don't know if it's like, if you're like taking by the numbers, if that would play out, but yeah, it's like my gut feeling, you know.
Michelle also is another
great example. Well,
yeah, great example. But yeah, I mean, you can kind of see it almost play out, that dichotomy in this episode at tribal council, where you have these four people in their first tribal council who are like all like misty-eyed and like, oh, the mystique of tribal council is so sexy, and Emily's just sitting there completely jaded, like, this fucking sucks. This is like the 12th time in a row I've done this. I hate this. She's like a grizzled war veteran who's like just sick of it all.
Yeah, and I should say, like, I'm also the kind of person who's like, I'm playing Survivor to play the voting people out part of Survivor. That's way more interesting to me. So it could also be a little bit of that from my part.
Yeah, that's fair. No, I do agree. I think you have to be willing. You have to be like self-aware coming into a merge without having gone to tribal, that you are inexperienced and you need to be just ready to hit the ground running, but like not in a messy way, which is very difficult to do because you don't have that experience. Yeah, so it's like a very hard kind of balance to strike. And yeah, you just like intrinsically are going to have like less knowledge of the game than the other players. So yeah, it's hard. I do think it's on average a disadvantage, but I think it's a pretty minor disadvantage that like most capable players can not too easily overcome, or not too uneasily overcome.
Yeah, like I always remember Ghost Island, the Malolo tribe like lost two challenges and then they got to the swamp and then they just destroyed Dom and Wendell, who would go on to run the season post merge, but they got played so hard at that swap. And I feel like it's because the Malolos who went to that swap had already played the game a bit and had already like gotten used to the hustle of it, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, anyway,
bring James back. He got swap screwed. He was a really good player. But also my winner pick that season. So disappointed.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think somebody, Jameson is somebody who's forgotten a lot as like a underrated pre-merge.
Not by me. Not by me.
Yeah. He was at a viewing party I went to once in Boston.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Cause he was like a Harvard grad or something like that. So
yeah.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. I don't have like very high hopes for Bruce Katora or Jake, but I think Kelly might be able to like squeak her way into something, especially after a couple people get picked off and some loyalties might get, you know, readjusted.
I will say I do think that Jake, I would probably put a tier above Bruce and Katora though, just because I do think that he's making, yeah, at least with Kelly, he's making that relationship. It seemed like he maybe had it with Kendra too before the swap. Same, I don't know his game other than, you know, getting dizzy and falling down at this point, but I definitely think there's something more there than it is for the other two.
Well, yeah, I mean, Bruce seems to be widely considered to be obnoxious, and Katura is like heavily blinded by this one-sided rivalry. So I think just like being a normal dude just makes Jake above them by default.
And it's way worse than Leanna's obsession with Xander four seasons ago, because she at least had Shan most of the way to like knock her senses, not get her back to actually playing a game. Or Katara, I don't think she has anybody. I think she's just foaming at the mouth until she can get Bruce out, and then she's gonna realize, wait a minute, I don't have any alliances.
Yeah, I mean, you get some stuff with Jake where he talked about like losing weight and trying to play this game, and you know, it's so funny, you know, as a fat guy now and someone who's been fat and then skinny and then fat again, like I kind of noticed like Jake didn't take his shirt off, and I was like, probably was heavier at some point, because that's a former fat guy move I've ever seen one and I've ever experienced it. But very interesting to see his kind of journey, and like, you know, he's kind of right. Like Survivor would be a lot harder at 280 pounds than it is at like whatever he's at there. And you know, I know there's like a lot of body positivity versus fat shaming or whatever, and ultimately I think it just matters that he's proud of himself for what he's accomplished and the positions he's been able to put himself into because of what he wants, you know.
I also think it's just science. It's just realistic. I think, yeah, if you're a big tub of goo out of shape, I mean, you would have a very, very, very hard time in those challenges. Yeah. I mean, look what happened to Brandon. Brandon wasn't even necessarily like a large man, out of shape for sure. Pretty much ruined his entire game too. Cause like,
yeah, he's like the opposite end where it's just like, just out of shape, not like fat, just like, just not in shape at all.
Mm-hmm. Like you got it. I was going to say, I would go like P90X for like a year straight before I went on Survivor. I would have to. Cause yeah. if I somehow got selected now, I would be terrified. I'd be like,
I would die. I'm gonna die if I had to go on Survivor, even 26 days. I wouldn't make it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm like a thin dude, but like, I'm not like super in shape or like, you know, like strong. So like, I would definitely still have to put in a lot of effort probably to get ready for Survivor.
Survivor, don't cast us yet. We'll give it a year. We'll be ready.
Or maybe cast me so I get that push.
Kicking the ass.
Lose 100 pounds and go win Survivor.
No, but there have been examples of like bigger, like Dan Foley, yeah, comes to mind.
Jam Jam.
Russell's the one that sticks out to me the most. It's two different people.
Yeah, Richard Hatch was in like for 2000. Yeah. Very.
He's fat, but he's good.
He's fat, but he's good. The epic Rudy quote. He's fat, but he's good.
And it is funny you say that, because early 2000s, that is a fat man.
Yeah, today
2023, that is dad bod. Yep. That's a dad bod. You know, he's in shape, not in shape type body. Where in 2000, that's like, that guy was fat as shit.
Yeah. I remember Colby had a confessional in All-Stars, like, they're building the raft, and he's like, not only does it have to carry four normal people, it has to carry 240 pounds of Hatch. Yeah. Oh, come on, he's not that fat, Colby, come on.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I mean, All-Stars is all just people, like, you know, playing in the bits from the first seasons they were on, to be fair. So, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so that's, I guess we can talk about the journey. That's really the thing we haven't super touched on.
Yeah, Austin got a little screwed here.
Yeah, this is... If we're going again with Jay Maya not really understanding the nuances of this game, These amulets are a trap.
Yeah. And like, Austin being the type of person who's like, I don't need any other reason for people to want to vote me out. I'm the handsome, you know, boy wonder archetype. Like, people are going to try to vote me off immediately no matter what I do. Yeah. Whereas Jay Maya doesn't have to worry about that. But she made an enemy in Austin now, and Austin might kind of flip that and be like, well, I'm going to vote you out now, you know?
What is the bonus to these idols? Because there's literally none
about these
unless you manage to get the other two out. Yeah. That's that sandwich. Speaking of fat boys, that sandwich, it wouldn't have like been a thought. Did it have to be all or none, or had to be majority?
Right. Majority. So two.
I would have basically threatened to like lie to everyone back at the island if they didn't take the sandwich. I would have been like, I'm going to tell everybody you two got an idol. I had a sandwich. I'm going to lie.
Yeah, right.
It's just, yeah. Once again, I think the cast carries through production's mistakes. I think this is another one of those advantages that's either just going to be completely nothing to the rest of the game, or it's just going to ruin it. I mean, the aspect of like, you're basically agreeing to paint a target on your back now with two other people. And I talk about not telling people about advantages and not, you know, telling people when you have idols. This is when I for sure would be like, hey, I was forced into this. I don't want this. We need to get these other two people out so we can now use this. I mean, we didn't really see what Kelly did after, so I don't know what's going on with that. But I think Austin's for sure playing it the right way. That sucked. And you talk about like kneecapping, like nothing's as bad as it's not as bad as last season, but this is like it's literally poison. Like I want nothing to do with this.
Yeah. And you know, maybe production gets some actual good looking sandwiches. Like those look like the, you know, ones you get like in the frozen, you know, food.
It was made two days ago, a market basket. Yep.
A vending machine sandwich, something like where it's like, when I'm starving on an island, sure. But like, I don't know. They need to make like a more appealing sandwich, like one that looks like something from a cartoon, you know?
Yeah, this bologna sandwich been sitting out in the Fijian heat.
I was thinking about that too. Like, how long has it been up here? Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of flies on this sandwich. Like, that's for sure. So like, that's not appetizing either.
Yeah. I still think like, it doesn't matter the sandwich or not the sandwich, like not having the amulets, like I would have watched somebody eat the sandwich in front of me to not have to take the amulets.
Yeah, right. it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't, this is like, this especially right after, like, I don't know how Jemaya expected to like get Austin on her side after she ended the challenge just like chucking him under the bus for no reason, being like, yeah, we want Austin to go on the journey with me so I can try to get info from the other tribe from him. And Austin's like, nope, that's not happening. Please, no, don't think that's gonna happen.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah,
that she did that.
Yeah, this is like, she put on a clinic this episode of how not to play Survivor.
Yeah. That LeBron clip where he's like warming up back when he's on the heat. That was her. Jemaya about to torpedo her game with that clip.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's no good. So we'll see what happens with these amulets. But yeah, no, you guys are right. This is terrible. Poison, like you said, Ben, rather have someone eat in front of me than and get it. Like, we'll see. Best case, I guess, for Austin is the other two don't tell anybody and he's able to get them out before that, and then he'll have two idols. But it feels unlikely that will happen.
It would be poetic, right? He was the one who didn't want to take it and they're the ones who get screwed by it.
Right. Yeah, it would be great. And he kind of has to just go for it now, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see though. We'll see what happens. I guess we're just talking about tribal council. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Dylan said, it's like the first full interesting tribal. Oh, you guess this is a bio one as well. But this was like a normal tribal council that still had some intrigue to it.
Yeah. So I saw there's a little controversy here. I feel like on here, we all like agreed like, oh, Austin will be able to use the goodwill advantage to sacrifice and then play his, what he did in the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But some people didn't think that should be the case based on the wording of it, of like, this can replace a lost vote versus a sacrifice vote. I think that's too semantic. I didn't feel that way. I know you guys also didn't feel that way, right? You both thought like, oh yeah, he can obviously do what he just did.
Yeah, that seemed like the point of it. It seemed like the literal purpose of the goodwill advantage would be basically useless if you couldn't do this.
It seemed like the goodwill advantage was literally meant for whoever got the idol and wanted a chance to sacrifice it. If you if you happen to get it at the same time. I can't spend too much time worrying about the viewers worrying about the Survivor rules when Survivor is already like messing them up themselves. If it wasn't going to work, it would have specifically said like, hey, you know, you can't vote for fucking three different tribal councils after you decide to do this, or you have to tell everyone who your vote is. Like, they would do something dumb and egregious if it was like that straightforward of a disadvantage on the idol. I think literally the only reason you probably would at that point sacrifice your vote is because you knew you could use the vote to save it. So I'll tally up a W for production at this point. And like, we as a viewer can't be overthinking the rules of all these idols.
It's extra complicated. Like, what happens if there's a seal a vote advantage and someone doesn't have a vote? Do they have a vote or not? It's just.
I'm already having a panic attack of just thinking about that.
Those are like the things I think about. Like, you know, Ben and I have on and off been coming up with a game, and like, one of the things that we're definitely going to have to do is just invite people to like do a Zoom version and be like, come up with ways to break this game that we probably didn't think about, because I don't want to get out, start trying to record a season of it and realize that we left like a huge like loophole in the rules that someone will exploit when it actually matters.
I'm usually pretty okay at finding loopholes though, because I did play it in an org earlier this year, and it was a newish like kind of unique game, and I found like kind of a game breaking loophole that I exploited.
I know that the people like doing that, and I also would like to break people's rules. So we just need to find, you know, people, and Survivor needs that too, of like just get a group of the most nerdy, you know, game designers.
Hire me. Like, I'll do it.
Exactly. Just get it. It'd be fun, you know, just an afternoon of like play through the scenarios and how like everything interacts with each other, because we're getting very complicated on how all these things interact with each other.
Stop advantage getting 2.0.
Yes. Yeah. Justice for Suri. Never forget.
Yep. Well, she might be getting justice right now, so we'll see.
Oh man, but I loved Kendra's reaction. So fun. I feel like we haven't had a good blindside reaction in a minute.
It's like I said, it's pure. It's pure to see. She's pissed at first, you know. It's shock. Obviously, Brando more so appreciated the move and understood it, but I think maybe she was blind to what was fully going on around her too, where Brando wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like Brando maybe isolated her outside. Cause like what Bennett said too, of maybe like making your teammates aware of what you're doing, saying like, yeah, you know, I was just blowing smoke, building up what was going on with Drew. I think maybe Kendra was just not aware of any of that going on and kind of like just literally thought the straight up story was what was happening that she was a lock. So nice to see, even if she was maybe the only one truly blindsided there. That was nice. But props to Emily, man. She kept two of my other favorite players in the game for her. She is, I will give Ben credit from the jump. He had her number and I was on the exact opposite. She's definitely top three of my favorite players this season. She continues to just kill it and make all the right decisions, really.
Yeah. Hey, at least you're on the boat now. That's what's important.
Yeah, getting the Emily train. You know, there's plenty of room. There was definitely plenty of room with me alone on the train after episode one, I think.
And I know a lot of people felt the same way I did at first, and are on fully aboard the Emily
train. Oh yeah, she was getting destroyed on Twitter that first night. It's not good.
People just hate good TV. I don't know.
It's interesting where you got to remember the difference between enjoying the entertainment and like kind of like hating the game. When both come together, where it's entertaining and someone's playing a good game, there's nothing better than that. And that's what's happening right now.
No, agreed. So looking forward to her getting back with Caleb and them probably controlling the fate of everyone else at this merge.
Let's see. Let's see if it's a real merge. I didn't watch the preview. Let's see.
Merge. It will probably be Mergatory.
Okay, well, now we're talking about game mechanics and the Mergatory, whatever we're doing. Like, how does this Austin Idol interact with a Mergatory? Because does this count as the merge vote for his idol? Does he have to now sacrifice this coming vote, or does he still get it for free if it's a not the merge, and then he gets and has to sacrifice the one after? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, I don't have any idea. Ben.
I can't do this.
Is this the one time where semantically the show pretending like it isn't the merge matters?
Yeah. We'll find out. Because you're right, because he shouldn't have to sacrifice his vote to have it be good in the next round. But if he does, then it's good till, what, the final five?
Yeah, then it's just a normal idol. Yeah.
He's gonna get like a magical the advantage again out of nowhere next episode.
That's the thing, right? Because like they keep on joking, and people are like, oh, like Drew and Austin have this like bag full of advantages. But if you actually look at it, like, their advantages suck. Like, their advantages combined are like the power of one idol.
Mm-hmm. They just happen to be playing it really well to this point so far.
Yeah. I mean, they can't share the power of their advantages very easily. Like, Drew can leave Tribal Council, which, I mean, it was interesting when Jeremy did it. It didn't work out for him at all. If anything, you could make the argument that maybe if he stayed, it would have been better for him in the long term, although he could have gotten voted off at that Tribal Council. A little unclear. That episode is the family visit episode, I think, where they like really rushed the second half of the episode. Could have used 90 minutes for that to really understand what was happening. But I don't necessarily see their bag of tricks as like particularly overpowered.
Yeah, I think they've been kind of afraid to put too many powerful. Like, I think they finally realized that knowledge is power is both a flop and super overpowered if like a competent player ever gets it.
Right.
And so they might just have finally gotten rid of that. Knock on wood. And they're like, okay, let's put a bunch of like really shitty advantages in, so that like maybe they'll create some interesting moments without like completely destroying the integrity of the game.
Right. So we'll see. I'm very excited. I think I saw their orange merge buffs, which is fun. They missed out though. This was kind of the Halloween. Oh no, next Wednesday's Halloween or
Tuesday.
Tuesday. So yeah, they just missed it. Sorry, Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, that's okay. We'll see what happens there. I'm just very excited and really enjoying the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got all my swag ready to go.
I love it. I mean, as you know, I'm a huge fan of buffs, so mm-hmm.
I would try to do a Brando and like get it on as a top, but I don't want to break this.
Yeah.
No. I don't want to stretch it out. No.
Yeah.
Double it up right there. Yeah. Oh, man. Anything else?
No, for me. No.
Okay. Good for me. Great season. Two thumbs up. Love it so far. Best season in a very, very long time.
Yep. Agreed. Yep. Ben, do you want to plug online stuff?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Ben Chair, and I put out a little 4-tweet thread with my thoughts on The Devil's Plan on Netflix. There is spoilers in there, so I would definitely recommend watching it before reading my tweet thread. But definitely highly recommend The Devil's Plan for anybody who likes Survivor-like social strategy games. It's a Korean show that is dubbed in English on Netflix, and then it's also very similar to a fan favorite of mine, The Genius, which ran for 4 seasons in Korea, which you could find online pretty easily. If not, definitely hit me up on Twitter and I'll give you the links, because Genius is one of my favorite shows of all time. And I think any social strategy fan should watch The Genius 4 seasons. So,
absolutely. And Dylan, how are you?
Everything's really depressing in this world, but the only thing I really have left is my family and Survivor. So I do still be tweeting about Survivor and occasionally sports and the dystopian landscape we're currently living in. But yeah, you can follow me on Twitter or X, whatever it's called now, DJ Cleverlang. Yeah. Once again, hope to do a good show soon. Saw Killers of the Flower Moon in a movie theater.
Ooh, how's that?
Longest movie of my life. not to say it was bad, but it was a long movie that felt long. Almost right. 4 hours long. But yeah, follow me there.
Yeah, that was nice when Scorsese made The Irishman for Netflix. I was like, sick. This is a 4 hour movie that I can pause.
It's nice to see Robert De Niro actually playing an old person, though, rather than playing a 20-year-old engaged in hand to hand combat.
That's really where. It went wrong.
I like The Irishman, so
it's a great movie, but yeah, that I think we covered it on Wicked Good Show. So if you want to hear our thoughts, check out our Wicked Good Show episode on that. But yeah, God, that was so funny. Other than that, you can follow me on Twitter at the Fake Mar, BMARR. Channel is on Twitter at WG Everything, Instagram Wicked Everything, Twitch, twitch.tv/WickedEverything, TikTok. Also, we could get everything. They just upped their video link, so I might just like dump a bunch of old We Could Get Everything videos onto there. Maybe we'll make a new episode of something for We Could Get Everything at some point.
You know what I want.
Wait, what do you want? What was that?
You know what I want. The things we may have tried.
You know. Oh, no. Well, that's probably the last of the good ones, but. That's very funny. Tamar and I were just discussing the other day.
Teased with one episode and never got any more after that.
Yeah, it's in the there's one in the tank that we filmed like 4 years ago also. So that'll be good when it comes out. Anyways, things you may have tried. If you like weird videos, comedy stuff, then you might like it. I don't know. I like it. I had fun making it.
I love it. Yeah.
It's very avant-garde.
Thank you. Yeah. That's what we're going for. Just the weirdest food review show you can imagine. Other than that, thank you so much for watching. We'll see you in the next one.